back. This is your host, Cardzi B. As many of you may already know, I'm a tarot reader and fashion industry survivor based in New York City. I began learning tarot when I was still in grade school, and since then, I've turned that hobby into a tarot practice and the creation of my own deck, Badass Bitches Tarot by Cardzi B, as well as various tarot products and events. So welcome back, and I'm so grateful that we're all still here. We survived June. It was an intense month, and I do still stand with what I've been saying since March, that the solstice was an empowering pivot for us. And, you know, we're still moving through Cancer season, and we're welcoming in July this week, which is big. Last month, we worked with those Gemini energies of the lovers. And though, as I said, there's a lot of chaos, a lot of darkness being exposed and being brought to the surface, we also experienced that coming together of the lovers, you know, that uniting for progress. So the new moon in Cancer and solstice eclipse, or sorry, summer solstice and solar eclipse brought in some, like I said, it was a pivot point. It was, you know, all of this light pouring in. But there was also some very intense energies and some game changers that came through. And I think that combined with basically the finale, kind of like the really, like when you have fireworks, you know, on 4th of July or on a holiday that are just very, very going crazy at the end because of the finale. That I feel like was the summer solstice eclipse. And it was also a couple days ago, the end of Venus retrograde, which was testing a lot of interpersonal and lover relationships to the very tail end of June. So I feel like, you know, it really did go out with the bang. This coming weekend, specifically, it's on the East Coast, 12:44 a.m., July 5th. So that's Sunday, technically Sunday morning. I would do ritual work on Saturday night if you're working with this full moon eclipse. So Saturday night, July 4th, if you're doing any candle work, any ritual work around the full moon and the eclipse, but it's actually happening technically 12:44 a.m. Eastern time. On July 5th. So this full moon is occurring in Capricorn. And when we think about the hard working energy of Capricorn and its associated tarot card, the Devil, it reminds us to be mindful of where we want to release overworking, overthinking, or holding on. The Devil is kind of like we think of, you know, in the traditional card, the man and the woman that are literally chained to the Devil. What are we chaining ourselves to? What attachments that we, you know, we might have energetic and emotional bonds to that might not really be in our highest interest, but we're just chained to them out of habit, out of just old narratives and old stories that are expiring. Leading up to this full moon and lunar eclipse, really, I think it's a good time to ask, where can we decide to eclipse out those sabotaging energies and those, you know, devil-like attachments? I've been personally really looking at remaining attachments because I'm seeing this as a theme for people that I love, for clients, whether it's relationships that really aren't working. They probably weren't working for a while, but people trying to force them, again, out of that like comfort, out of that habit of being chained to something from old outgrown beliefs, or whether it's a job, or people have a lot of we all as humans have attachments, and people have had a lot of things coming to the surface with these that I've seen, like I said, clients, friends, family members coming to the surface with their attachments over this time. So I was really looking at mine. And, you know, I feel like what are my unhealthy devil energies? I really was looking at that. I know that I still have them. And those energies of codependency, or, you know, where we have, you need this person, this place, this job to feel worthy, to feel lovable. A lot of attachments come down to root chakra. They can be others, obviously, but it seems that security and root chakra, it's the first chakra, is really tied to a lot of attachments for people. And after all the work I've done to rearrange my life and to cut ties with a lot of relationships and habits and, you know, past career paths that no longer served me, I was feeling pretty good. You know, going into this, even the first two and a half months into this, I was like, I got this. Yeah. I was feeling that I'd released a lot of unhealthy attachments, but the lockdown, and especially, you know, just the last month of this, I was going to say the past 3 months, but no, like I said, the first 2.5 months, I felt like I was feeling pretty, in tune, but the past month, June was rough for me. And it really tested one of my last remaining attachments, which I realized is New York City. And I love the city so much. My mom likes to even uncomfortably tell the story that I was conceived on a trip my parents took to New York and that I'm a New York baby. And maybe that's why, since I was a little girl, I always wanted to move here. And I've been here 15 years and it was always my goal for this to be my home. But in this time, the environment and the energy of Manhattan and its people have drastically changed. And sadly, the costs of living here have not decreased to coincide with the quality of life that has dropped so much. So my lease is up at the end of August, and my management company is actually raising rents. Effing devil, literally. So I'm trying to surrender, to observe this attachment, giving respect and gratitude to all that, you know, this love of New York has brought and taught me, but also really trying to untangle my identity and my sense of security from it. So hopefully the universe can bring the solution that is in my best and highest interest. So if any of you are having any little devils still creeping around, any of those attachments, this full moon in Capricorn and lunar eclipse are a great time to really ask for clarity. So that being said, let's take a look at our cards of the month. So we had the Lovers in Gemini season in June, which can be misleading because we often want to only, I shouldn't say all of us, I'm, you know, the annoying optimist that I am, my big Sag sun sign is showing, I should say I want, and a lot of us want to only experience really the harmony and the coming together of Gemini. But the Lovers in Gemini have two sides, and there's duality and polarity there. And we saw a lot of that. We saw a lot of that rising coming up, a lot of conflict in June, but also it, like I said earlier, it brought a lot to light, and that kind of conflict caused a lot of unity in the process. So after the Lovers comes the seventh major arcana, the Chariot. So July, our seventh month, and the month containing that Cancer energy is bringing in the card of hard won victory. So in the Smith Rider Waite deck, the Cancer card shows this prince, or maybe he's a knight. He's a kind of whatever, this like well-suited guy in armor, sitting in a chariot being pulled by these two sphinxes, one black and one white. And I always took this as light and shadow, the same way as the High Priestess. It's between those two pillars. It's kind of like, you know, he's steering almost the light and the shadow. And he doesn't have the reins though. It's not like he's pulling them by force. He just has a wand, and it's seeming to show that it's moving ahead with just sheer will and strength of mind. So it's not that brute force or strength. It's kind of like just will and strength of mind that he's willing these two sphinxes, the black one and the white one, that kind of light and shadow, to work in tandem to get where he needs to go. And it's also, interestingly, this is always the thing that, you know, in studying tarot later in life that people comment on, it's the only card that is about the vehicle. Every other card is about the individual, the character, whether it's a king, a queen, whether it's, you know, the empress, the fool. It's about the character, whereas this is about the vehicle carrying that knight. Like we don't even know who this mofo is. He's a knight, he's a prince, but it's about the chariot, the vehicle that's getting us there. Astrologically, the Chariot's associated with Cancer, and that's the cardinal water sign, right? Cancer is ruled by the moon. It's that time of emotion and intuition. But we can also be a little bit guarded and a little bit protective in Cancer. It's, you know, Cancers are known for loving their homes because of that. We think of that Cancer crab, that shell of kind of withdrawing, going within, being a little bit protective. And sometimes when we feel overly emotional, in Cancer season, we can either retreat into that shell, or the claws can come out. That, you know, our little crab claws. So in the Badass Bitches Tarot, I drew this card as Miss Miley Cyrus on a wrecking ball because it is that card of victory, right? But it's known as an aggressive, hard-won victory, rushing in with its, you know, Cancer being a cardinal sign, rushing in. And sometimes it can move a little too quickly based on emotion, based on that the water behind it. So take that into consideration when making decisions this month. On the flip side, you know, if it's something being brought into you and it's like, oh, that came in like a wrecking ball, score. sure. But if it's something that you are driving, so to speak, like the vehicle of the chariot, really take that into account. But like I said, it can also bring in a victory you've worked for, and it's going to come in hard. It's going to come in fast. If you feel like in ways you were on pause, I know I felt like this, and I've talked to many clients who felt this way. If June was somewhat of a pause for you because of everything, you know, that was coming up to the surface in the world, and it was overwhelming, especially for those of us who are healers, you know, intuitives and empaths, July is likely to be a nice, like yang energy to the yin that was June. If we were just receiving, processing, kind of taking it all in June, July is going to allow us to bring that ambition and forward motion with the chariot's strength and force. So the next card that we have for July is, you know, we always have the second card of the month is from the January 2020 yearly overview. And we have the moon, but reversed. And in the OG Smith Rider-Waite card, the moon shows these two gray towers with this big full moon between them and a small path running beneath the moon into this like little, I don't know if it's a lake, it's this little body of water, and that's said to represent the subconscious mind when you study books on tarot. It's like the, you know, that water element of Pisces, and because the moon is ruled by Pisces. So it's kind of like that subconscious, that water, and there's two animals on either side of this path. There's a dog and a wolf, and they're both howling up at the moon. And honestly, until I studied this later in life when I was just a kid and I was, you know, playing with the cards and learning in my own way, I didn't really understand. They just looked like two dogs to me. They look very similar because the wolf is considered, you know, more dangerous compared to the dog. This is why it's important. It's kind of saying that one represents our kind of more docile, you know, almost tamed side, while the other represents, and some people say this is light and shadow. I kind of look at this as like, you know, more like the dog and the wolf, that both have amazing qualities and both have negative qualities. Sometimes it's good to be wild and free like the wolf versus, you know, tamed and submissive. So I mean, take that with what you will. Some people say light and shadow with these characters. The moon is often about really that water energy creating a reflection of those two, right? Of the dog and the wolf. And it really looks at what comes up that gives a mirror of our fears or traumas. And this is how we are able to perceive them, whether it's through other people, whether it's through circumstances that pop up. So it's kind of how, as we're going about the world and we have this mirror reflection, what do we do with the information? In the Badass Bitches tarot deck, I drew this as Britney Spears. This is one of my cards that gets referenced the most by other readers and other kind of like tarot experts that know my deck, because it's kind of, it's one of the most iconic cards from my deck. I drew it as half-shaved head Britney when she had the meltdown in 07 and half like sexy iconic slave for you Britney, because both of those images are very ingrained in kind of the zeitgeist of the pop culture. And when we think about it, we all have that, you know, higher swimming fish of Pisces and the lower swimming fish. We all have moments of shaved head Britney, and we all have sexy, iconic, Instagrammable Britney. And I'm sure many of us have had those moments of both. I've been a lot of shaved head Britney, I have to tell you, in the past month. So that's really the moon, is the integration of both and the things that mirror both, the things that trigger both in our lives. I actually prefer the reversal of the moon, which is what we have for July. So that's what was pulled for the year when I did the monthly overview. I prefer the reversal because it indicates that you have been doing the work. You have been facing your shadow. You have been integrating it. And working through those fears and anxieties really allow us to look at a lot of those ghosts of the past and say, that was past me, or that belief doesn't really suit me anymore. I kind of outgrew that, or I see why that was an illusion and not really representative of who I truly am or what I'm truly worth. So as you may have noticed, I was posting a lot less content in June, both on my Instagram, and I was doing a lot, you know, fewer like videos and the free stuff I was trying to put out there to help the collective. And I was really struggling. I was having a lot of shaved head Britney moments, and it's because I honestly can say I don't know. It's in my best interest to remain in New York City. And as I said, that's been one of my remaining attachments. It's been such a part of my identity. And when I really decided to go into the moon card, to face these mirrors that are coming up, I shaved head Britney'd. I just made that a verb. Shaved head Britney'd hard. I cried a lot. I felt really sorry for myself. I went into victim mode. I, you know, went home to visit my parents and had the thought of, you know, maybe I, my mom like kind of like sneak attacked, booked an apartment viewing there because it's so drastically cheap compared to living in Manhattan of like, okay, well, if you need to come here for a bit. And I cried even harder when I realized that I don't have a safe hometown to return to like others do. I love my mom so much, and that was so amazing and so thoughtful and resourceful of her. And my parents and my family are amazing, but it's just a very racist, homophobic, xenophobic area. And that was a lot of my problems in childhood of why I never fit in. And I felt that I didn't belong there from a young age. And I just know that, and I've seen signs of that still existing, you know, like, yes, it's been, you know, I'm 37 years old, but I've seen signs and people say things that is still the mindset for sadly, like, you know, though maybe not my parents, a lot of the people there. So I realized I can't go to my hometown like many people can. And my other non-blood related family is located in Toronto. And sadly, I'm not Canadian, though I pretend to be. I'm not Canadian by birth. So the ability to live there is restricted by visas and immigration logistics, which I'm sure are stricter than ever right now. So, you know, New York has been my home. It's the home that I found later in life, and I've been here for 15 years, and I'm not sure what that means for me. I'm feeling a little bit homeless right now. But instead of digging my high heels in harder and re-signing a lease that didn't feel good when I saw the terms, who knows what 12 months look like anywhere, especially in New York right now. And I just didn't feel good about that. There was something in my inner guidance system that was like, even though the stubborn, you know, Carrie Bradshaw witch in me wanted to be like, no, always New York, no matter what. It didn't sit right with me. So I paused. And also, instead of fleeing, which I have historically done, especially when relationships have felt unsafe, I didn't run like Forrest Gump. I paused. I meditated. I asked my guides for help. And that's really what the work in the moon looks like to me, that allows us to come to its reversal. And that's the place, the moon reversed, where we can start to release fear and surrender. And that's kind of also the place of when we're calling in that success of Miley on a wrecking ball, we can allow it. We can really, you know, hold space for it. So another thing I'll say about being in the moon reverse specifically is a lot of dream work can come in this reversal. So if you're someone who receives psychic messages or like signs and guidance from you know, your guides or from people you know who have passed on in dreams, this is a really strong month specifically to ask for clarity before you go to sleep. And one of my favorite dream visitors is one of my very best friends, my soul big brother from this lifetime, Jason, who passed away of HIV-related complications a few years back. And he showed up in a dream a couple nights ago, and I was naked. No, it's not that kind of dream. Both he and I are very gay. He's big brother vibes. But anyway, and I was like, I'm freaking out. I can't find my clothes. And he handed me this green beret and the outfit that Madonna wore in the American Life video, which is kind of this like badass, like soldier outfit. And I didn't fully understand what this meant at first, but the clothes definitely, like, I was like, oh, cool, I have an outfit and I like this outfit. But the clothes seemed to mean that like security was coming and that I would feel back to my warrior badass self somehow. So after that dream a few nights ago, 2 days ago, so this was all this past week, 2 days ago, my friend called me and she was like, I have the best news for you. I want to put you on speaker. She had spoken to a friend of hers, and this man I've met several times, and he's great, and I've met him in groups because it's one of her best friends, you know, at birthday parties and dinner parties, but we aren't super close, and it's for no reason, just that it's like a friend of a friend situation. We've never hung out one-on-one, but he's somebody that, you know, I think is a great guy. Anyway, she's out with him, and she puts him on the phone, and he tells me that he's heard about my situation and he just wants to help. And he says he's leaving his apartment empty because he's going to be spending the next few months in his condo in Florida until December. And he offered me to stay there. And then if I wanted to switch places and go to Florida in December. And I was just so shocked. I mean, I'm like getting emotional just talking about this now because I couldn't even believe it was real at first. I like started to like tear up, started crying because I was so overwhelmed with gratitude and just with relief of like, if I could just have just a couple months to figure it out, to continue to be open to signs, to feel like I'm not forced to signing this very expensive lease in a very uncertain time, and also not being pushed out when I don't feel that I have like a home to go to yet. I was just so grateful, and just for the kindness of this person that, you know, he's not yet, I feel like he is now my best friend, but he's not yet one of my best friends. It's just a kind man. And he said, I was like, you know, oh, of course, like I'll pay you whatever. And he was like, I'm able to help. He's like, I'm at a place in my life that I'm able to help. And he's like, you're a really good person and I want to help you. And, so beautiful. It's going to make me cry again. And, you know, I feel like that was definitely a chariot moment coming in. He still has to check with his building and like logistics and make sure that it's okay because he's, you know, like with his board that he has me staying there on his lease. And I have to make sure that Lola can come because I am, you know, she's a part of me. I've got my little dog with me. So hopefully that all works out. Send me good vibes on that. But I also know that even if he comes back and is like, I'm so sorry, my building won't allow it, I know the right thing will appear for us. And if nothing else, that was just such a beautiful reminder of the kindness that is available to all of us when we're willing to surrender and receive it. So that's just definitely something to consider when working with the moon. When you go into that and you create space, beautiful things can come through, beautiful solutions that you never even would have thought of. This is something I would have never thought as a possible timeline for myself. So anyway, let's take a look at our card of the week. Oh, this one jumped right out. Okay. We have justice this week. That never usually, I have to say, if I do say so myself, I'm a pretty professional shuffler, so they never fly out, but we have justice. So I feel like we're pretty familiar with this one, especially if you've listened to my podcast for a while. This is a card that has come up several times in our weeklies and just the energies with that Libra balance. I love justice. I'm a Libra moon, and I love the balance of this card. So in the deck I created, I drew her as Ruth Bader Ginsburg, obviously. And, you know, she's all about combining intellect and intuition in order to do what is fair and just for ourselves, and how that then has a ripple effect for what's fair and just for those around us and for the world. So this card can kind of remind us to the importance of holding our energetic boundaries. And this might sound contradictory this week when we just went through all the energies of the chariot and the moon reversed, and especially talking about the full moon in Capricorn and that lunar eclipse. And like, didn't I just say, like, aren't we supposed to be focusing on releasing and surrendering and allowing the best outcomes in? Yes, we absolutely are. But boundaries and surrender are not mutually exclusive. They're a really powerful duo, and they kind of go hand in hand, because when we say no to things that are vibrationally clearly a mismatch, we create space for the lunar magic of the moon and the powerful Cancerian force of the chariots to come in and do their thing. Like, even I'm not signing a year lease without any out clauses for states of emergency. That was a clear justice RBG move for me. I was like, no to that. And I believe in making that decision, it's actually opening more doors than limiting. So that, I do feel that, again, that justice and boundaries go hand in hand with kind of that surrender and expansion of the moon reverse and of the chariot. So I am going to head out as I'm actually preparing to go visit one of my very best friends, who's also the Queen of Cups in the Baddest Bitches Tarot deck, for some much needed connection, laughter, and some nature time. But before I go, just quickly recap, we're heading through Cancer season with the Chariot bringing in some well-deserved wins. July also is bringing in that Moon Reverse card, rewarding us for any of that shadow work that we did throughout June and earlier in the process with the Moon Reverse. Is likely to bring in clarity, is likely to bring in signs that may come in stronger than ever, especially in dreams. And this week brings the Justice card, reminding us that while surrendering is important in our best and highest interest, we still need to remain firm in our energetic boundaries that we know are sacred to us. A quick couple of announcements. Yes, I will be doing Instagram Live Monday. I did miss last Monday. I was doing another group meditation event, but this Monday, 7:30 Eastern time, a great time to get a free live mini reading, and it will be up for 24 hours on Instagram if you miss it. I also am continuing to do a lot of free live content. There's still all of my tarot classes available for free on modernsanctuary.com, which will be linked in the bio to this. The free monthly tarot scopes by sign are up on BCBG, also linking to that. And I will be doing an additional free tarot sessions for charity, for the Happy House charity, that I will be linking to through Mason 10 next week. I hope you all have a beautiful week, a powerful full moon in Capricorn, and as always, stay magical AF.